Okay, good afternoon, everyone. It's about 2 minutes after two, and we're commencing the meeting. The recorder's going, and we do have, I hope, still with us, Secretary of State La Follette.
Oh.
Okay, and Treasurer Adamczyk.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, and I'm Brad Schimmel, and we also have at least Tom German from the staff. So we're ready to start the meeting. The first order of business on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the April 7th meeting. I have reviewed them, and I'd make a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
Okay, thank you. Is there any discussion relative to the minutes? Then all in favor of approval of the minutes, please say aye.
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 All right, then. That leaves no room for nays. Then the next item is the approval of the loans, and we have those included in our packet. We have eight different loans to review this month. Is there any information, Tom, that we need to have in considering any of these loans? Anything unusual or?
No, they've all been reviewed by staff and by the AG's office for public purpose.
Okay. I'd make a motion to approve the loans.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion regarding that? All in favor of approval of?
Then a pool dehumidification unit costs $1 million, but that's interesting.
I think it's a humidification problem within the pool structure itself, and they're probably redoing the HVAC duct. This is Rich.
Yeah.
In the entire structure.
Anyway, I just noticed that, thought it was interesting. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. All in favor of approving the loans?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, then all three commissioners have voted in favor of approval. Then we have item number four is our quarterly investment report. And we have another attachment here. This is just a discussion matter. I don't know that we need to make any kind of a motion, right?
Correct.
Okay. Who'd like, who has some discussion to get us started?
Well, this is Rich. I guess I would just like to point out that we had an excellent quarter. We outperformed our benchmark by the highest margin in over 4 years, which benefited our trust by about $2.5 million over the benchmark portfolio. You know, overall, the yields are somewhat lower due to the high level of cash, but that's a calendar issue because of the receipt of the loan principal payments in mid-March. Both the loan and the bond portfolios are yielding 4% and higher, which is excellent in this environment.
Wow, nice work.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion on this topic? Okay. Hearing no other discussion on item four, I'll move to item number five. And this item is a discussion of the normal school fund performance, and we have some attachments. So the attachments are a number of income statements. Is there who requested that this item be put on the agenda? I don't recall now.
Well, this is Matt. I had wanted on there at some point. And actually, there's also item number 10, which is under later on under new business, which is very similar, discussed trust land, basically the same. I'm assuming we could do, I think number 10, we could just do it now as well.
Well, that seems fine to me. Okay. Why don't you go ahead, Matt?
Well, I had requested some of this a while back, and I finally, you know, got some of these statements here. Assuming, I would have thought these were numbers that they had. I'll let the board staff there speak to it, whether or not they had them together, or if this is something they had to, you know, create. But basically, what I want to look at, and this is something I've made the point of, that seemingly I'm the only one that's really pushing at it. I'm sure the other commissioners do share the concern, but my concern is on that normal school fund, we're not, there's the two funds, the common school fund and the normal school fund. The common school fund is the $968 million-plus, mostly cash account. Only about, I think, 5% of our land is in that account. The normal school fund is almost exclusively a land account. That one only has $26 million in comparison to the $960. So it's much less money. It's almost exclusively land. And I've been making these comments, and we've been doing this now since the beginning when I started on January 5th, and I think these documents even show it more, that we are spending quite a bit on staff time, whether it's the Madison staff or the Northern office up in Lake Tomahawk. Our expenses for the normal school fund, seemingly, my understanding, every year vastly outperform what we bring in, which is the timber revenue. And things that I've been told from people like the staff there, whether it's Tia or Tom, is that we bring in some, you know, some of the land goes up in value. Well, whether we own the current pieces of land or new pieces of land, you know, land's going to go up in value. 10, 20, 30 years from now, it's going to be worth more just because we don't have any more land. And so I guess what I'd like to point out is I have a document that's later on, it's an attachment, I think it's number 10. I don't know why it's so much later, but attachment 2 for item number 10. It's kind of some numbers I put together. It's kind of based off some of the numbers that the board just provided us. And I guess my general concern, it's the one that at the top, it's like an Excel spreadsheet. It has the word written in cursive. It says estimations. It's towards the end of the packet. They're not numbered. It would be easier if they were numbered. But the way I look at it is, for example, the last year I had was the fiscal year 2013. And that normal fund expenses for that year, according to our biennial report, was about $740,000. Well, almost all of that money that is allocated is dealing with land because the normal school fund has very little cash. If you look above in that same column, it's the $900 million versus the $26 million. It's only about 3% of it's in cash. So if we allocated a little bit, and I did a 5% deduction for cash management, where I subtracted the $37,000, we're only really spending about we're spending about $700,000. And then if you compare that to what we bring in, most years it's about $500,000. In some years it's much worse. We're spending more than we're bringing in our timber sales. And I've said this, it's a complete problem. And if you look back at further years, like 2010, which is it's the first year that the board staff put together here, we had $816,000 to expenses for the normal school fund. And in that year, our timber sales were, according to the board, only $318,000. That's a $500,000. That's a $500,000 off that we're losing money. And I just don't understand how we can continue doing this. So I don't know if my co-commissioners have any questions. I mean, I've looked into this extensively. It's just we keep doing the same thing. We're just spending more for staff than we're bringing in.
This is Brad. I have a couple questions.
Sure.
And for Tom or Rich, In collecting these records, how much is it really possible to separate out staff expenses that relate to the normal school fund versus the common school fund? Is there an overlap, or does this really depict what's discreetly just common or normal school fund?
I came to the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands in 2005, and the year I got here was when we started actually doing an attempt to allocate expenses between the different funds. In prior years, I'm not sure exactly how they allocated expenses. And so I would sit down with Denise every year, and we would go through our expenses at the end of the year and try to make sure that we were allocating those expenses between the funds on a reasonable basis. some of those expenses are more easily able to be allocated, and some of them are much more difficult. For certain types of expenses, for example, that are strictly related to like the loan program, we would allocate between the two funds based upon the relative size of the funds. For expenses that were directly related to land management, we would allocate between the funds based upon the relative size of the land holdings. But there are a lot of expenses that fall somewhere in between those two, that they're more indirect expenses. And so Denise and I would go through those line by line, trying to come up with the best rationale for allocating those expenses. We had never allocated or attributed expenses to particular activities, and because that was one of the things that was brought up, is what are the expenses related to the timber activity? This required us to go back and do wholesale reexaminations because we had never, like I said, attributed expenses to particular activities before. So this was something new for us from an accounting standpoint.
Is this a normal time frame for timber revenue, or is the $470,000 number for timber revenue unusually low or high?
I think the $470,000 is on the lower end, but it's on the lower end of the range. In most of the past several years, you've been looking at timber revenue somewhere in the 500 plus range.
Well, this is Matt. I mean, I think we could say a ballpark at $500,000. I mean, you've got for 14 of that 470, and I'll just read the numbers going back: 13,553, 210,530, 211,560, and then it gets worse: 210,394, 209,276. I mean, those are quite a bit lower. And I mean, I look back in 2010 is the first sheet I have here. We spent 816 to bring in 394. So that's, let's say, 800,000 to bring in 400,000. And it's just we're off by a lot. And I don't understand why we're spending so much. It just doesn't make any sense. And frankly, I understand that you guys don't have, I think you call it classification codes for every, activity you guys do. But I think Tia sent me an email saying, for example, Tom and Tia, the top two people, they are allocated like 50-50, half for the common school, half for the normal school fund. Well, when I asked Tia, and I think she forwarded to all the commissioners, the loans are the common school fund, okay? That's pretty much the common school fund, all the loans. And seemingly, Rich and Denise handle 90% of that. Well, if those two people are doing almost all of that fund, one would assume that all the other work must fall towards the other category, because there isn't any. The only thing we do are the loans and then the bonds. There's nothing else to do in the common school fund. So I think the estimation of 50-50 is low. I think more realistically, probably Tia and Tom and others might be closer to 75%. So that would just make the numbers even worse. I mean, but if we leave them at the current allocation, they're still bad.
Okay.
I just don't get the numbers.
Is this an issue of overstaffing or underutilizing our timber resources? I don't know, or is it a combination, or does anybody have a thought on that?
The reports that we produced for the last 5 years that attempted to break the expenses for the normal school funds into different categories, what we tried to do was look at, okay, what expenses are reasonably related to timber management, which expenses are reasonably related to real estate, and which ones would be considered overhead that are not easily put into either category. And so if we take that 2014 year that the state treasurer was talking about, in that year the timber management expenses were $345, the real estate expenses approximately $128, and then the overhead comes in at about $250. And in that overhead, like the state treasurer mentioned, a portion of Tia's salary infringes in there, a portion of my salary infringes in there, a portion of Denise and Rich and Vicky, part of the IT expenses are in there, and part of the land records expenses are in there. And so when you add all that up, it ends up at $250,000. When we talk about, we've been sort of mixing apples and oranges quite a bit when we talk about the land management. The real estate expenses are distinct because of the fact that if you are managing it for timber, you obviously are having people going out and marking timber and supervising timber sales and things like that. But for real estate, now you're going out and you're meeting with potential buyers. You are incurring expenses for appraisals. You are, in some cases, incurring survey costs and all kinds of other things that are related to real estate expenses. And it's important to make sure that as we discuss that, we're keeping in mind these different pieces to the puzzle.
Well, I guess going off with that, that makes sense. But if you look at the real estate for the year, I mean, give an example. Most of these years, it's in the 125 to 150 range,
yep.
And that doesn't include the allocation amount. I mean, if you look at that, I guess you'd say we're now in this calendar year, not fiscal year, but 2015. I've been a commissioner for almost all of January, all of February, all of March, and almost all of April. That's four of the 12 months, so a third of the year. And as of now, the three of us as commissioners, we've really not voted for hardly any land transactions whatsoever. And so, this year would probably be about the same. I mean, we're spending a ton of money, and we're just not bringing it in. And you used 2014. I guess I'd like to go back to 10 because I like to use a good year and a bad year. You mentioned 14. That was a better year. 2010, I'm looking at the numbers. Just the timber management alone for that year was 372. Well, we only brought in, oh, I'm sorry, wrong year. 2010, the timber management alone was 373. And our timber revenue was 318. So just the timber part we're down 50,000 on, let alone the real estate and the allocated overhead. When you do that all, that's 816 minus 313. I mean, that's a half $1 million. That's a lot of money. I mean, that's almost half the BCPL budget, or at least a third, that we're losing. And, you know, we're here. The way I see it is that's an extra half $1 million per year on bad years we could be giving back to our public schools. And for me, it's a no-brainer. I'd rather give more money back. So we have to look at some options here. And I'm open to any option.
Well, first of all, the normal school fund benefits the UW, not...
You're right.
Not,
sorry about that.
Not the public schools.
Sorry about that.
And we certainly are always open to suggestions on ways to better manage the assets.
This is Doug. I've been listening, and I'm not sure this makes any big difference, but just for example, in the 2010, the timber management costs were about $374, and then there was a real estate of another $149, which really can't count against the timber sales. And then there's the overhead, which is another almost $300,000. So those are people like Tia and Tom and Madison. So I just wonder if that real estate and overhead is looked at more carefully, the actual timber management aligns much more closely with the timber revenue. And I just wonder if maybe, and I don't know this, I'm just throwing this out, that maybe we're allocating too much overhead, and we shouldn't be counting the real estate as we compare this so-called timber revenue question.
Part of the equation is the fact that Wisconsin is further along than most of the western states in terms of disposing of their trust lands. I mean, if you go further west, the land commissions further west, many of them hold millions of acres. We're down to 70-some thousand. And the 70-some thousand that we have left were some of the least desirable lands. I mean, let's face it, these were the lands that, for the most part, people didn't want or people couldn't get to, because a lot of the other lands were sold before the roads are in. And so these lands that are left, that are legacies in the trust portfolio, are not as productive. They are not the ones that are going to be the most productive lands in the state, because they would have been sold years ago. And so the question becomes, how do you best manage these assets in the trust portfolio? And that's what we had been attempting to do, was realign these assets into a more productive trust lands portfolio. And at some point in time, you need to make a decision then whether to retain those trust lands, or whether it makes more sense at that point to sell them and invest in other trust assets.
Yeah, and this is Doug, and I'm happy that we've decided to have this consulting firm come and give us an overview of that question, and that's going to be good.
Well, this is Matt. One last general topic about this, though, is the normal school fund and the common school fund are two separate funds, as we've discussed. The common school fund is the one that deals with the majority of the trust fund loan, because it's got the $900-plus million in it. That thing's chugging along. And that's seemingly, from what Tia told me, Rich and Denise handle that pretty much 90% of that work. That is handled on that common school fund. That fund's doing great. We're doing good stuff over there. That, like Tom said, benefits K-12. But this normal school fund one, I mean, I'm not advocating it, but it'd be better to do nothing instead of losing all this money every year. I mean, I don't know what would be better. I mean, we've got this guy coming in from the Steigerwald or whatever. I mean, maybe it's some private company or some other county company we could work with. There's got to be something else to be done, because the way I see it is we have so many staff time and hours allocated to this that we're just spending way too much money. If we own $100 million, give or take, worth of land, we shouldn't be losing money every year. That's just crazy to me. And I don't know why this has been able to go on as long as it has, but we have to change it. We have to do something different.
Okay. Looking at the costs, you know, the largest things are salary and fringe, and then the other expenses. What are the other expenses?
Well, I've got Denise here, and she helped put these together. So, Denise, would you mind adding a little bit on that?
It would include, like, any travel that they have to do to the lands, also fleet expense costs. I didn't bring that worksheet in with the detail of the other expense lines, but that's some of them.
Do we lease vehicles from DOA, or what do we do?
Yes, we do. So we pay monthly leasing costs to DOA on that.
This is Doug. One interesting thing I just thought of, if we somehow magically got rid of our land, then there'd be a $300,000 in overhead would suddenly go back to the common fund.
We wouldn't need as many staff at that point.
No, but all those staff are Madison staff. I think that they aren't Northern office staff, so they would still exist.
But their positions, we wouldn't have to keep as many staff, though, Doug.
I don't know. That would be a good question.
Well, I mean, I guess as a general overview, if you look at it, though, the thing that we do well as a board is that we give out these loans, and I think, you know, Republicans, Democrats, everybody says it, they like the loans. We got about $500,000, I think it's like $450,000 in loans right now. That stuff, we're doing really well, you know, that's going really well. And seemingly, Rich and Denise, and, you know, I've talked to Rich about this, he does that really well. That part works really well. What we're not doing well is on that other portfolio, the aspect of the land, because it's just costing us so much. And I'll admit that I understand we've got some difficulties because our land's a little more spread out than, let's say, some of the other landholders in the state, but it's still something that's a problem that we have to address.
So where can we make cuts? Do we have any idea yet, or does it make more sense for us to wait for our, I think it's May 5th, we have the presentation from Steigerwald, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would think it makes sense to listen to them, and then I think the three of us are getting pretty well educated about this. I know I'm better educated than I was a year ago, and that's good. I think we can ask some good questions. After they make a presentation, we can ask some good questions like, well, we better off to sell the whole thing and put the money in bonds, or you know, what do you recommend? And those are the kind of answers that I am going to find interesting from this, from these people.
Okay. It does seem to me that we might want to wait to hear from Steigerwald before we go too much further trying
well,
to
figure this out. Yeah, I think you're Mr. Chair, I think you're exactly, I mean, we don't have any specific proposals in front of us, so it's just something I think I personally feel like we have to keep looking into, and, you know, obviously we don't have to always do it on a conference call. We can talk to staff on our own, but, I mean, it's just something we got to figure out a better way. And I don't know if we have one solution. Maybe it's a multiple front solution, but I mean,
okay.
I understand that we just got to figure out a way not to lose money on that fund, which is my crux of my concern.
I think maybe we should open gambling casinos on that land.
Oh, wow.
okay. Well, I think that's a good, this conversation was a good, some good preparation for the meeting in 2 weeks. And when we can learn more, and that is anticipated to be an in-person meeting with Steigerwald, and they'll have some presentation for us.
Can I ask just one quick question? Hopefully, one of the staff could wrap this up. The normal school fund earnings, Tom was correct. I said that wrong with the K-12. It does benefit the UW system. Can somebody, either Tom or Denise, speak to the earnings that we do make there, which my understanding are, you know, not too much per year, like a couple hundred thousand. Where does that money specifically flow at the UW?
Presently, it flows in a couple different pieces. $200,000 goes to UW system, and I think $100,000 of that is for scholarships at UW Madison. $100,000 for scholarships at the UW Extension, I believe. And the remaining amount goes to UW Stevens Point for programs up there.
Okay, well, if you can get me a specific breakdown of that, that might be helpful, but I could probably find it myself, too.
Okay. Anything else on items 5 and 10 there?
Nope.
Okay. Then item 6 was does call for a vote on additional board chair duties, and we left two items left, having the chair approve all BCPL expenditures over $5,000. I think we should take them one at a time.
That makes sense.
Okay. So do we have a motion at the previous meeting, or are we still...
I was the one that originally put this on there. I'm a big fan of oversight, and obviously the three of us that are commissioners are responsible for this board. I mean, we voted today for a loan for $50,000. So if, you know, if the BCPL is going to spend $50,000, I don't know why we, you know, at least wouldn't have at least the board chair. And, you know, obviously as Commissioner Schimmel, you are the board chair now, and, you know, probably have a little more staff, let's say, than my office, and, you know, you could probably be kept up to speed on these things. Maybe there's like a simple process. I mean, we don't want to make this too difficult on you, sir.
Well, and I think it was distributed to everyone that when the executive secretary put together the information about how many expenditures we have that exceed $5,000, there aren't, most of them are our staff payroll and fixed obligations that we really don't have a lot of discretion over. There were not a whole lot of other expenditures that exceeded $5,000. I don't have a problem with reviewing those. It's been productive for me to talk with the executive secretary before these meetings anyway, which I did have a chance to do for this one. So that's, I don't have an issue with that.
Okay, well,
she didn't
want me to make a motion, or I'd feel much better if at least somebody, and if it weren't, I never saw how many there were, but let's say there's two a month, I mean, it's not going to be the end of the world to just say, okay, we need that, we don't need that. And I don't think staff should be included in there because, as you said, the staff are set. The second item will deal with the staff of hiring new people, so I think that will be helpful. So I guess
okay.
I would make a motion on the first one that the board chair must approve all BC Bill purchases over $5,000.
Okay, so I'll second the motion then.
Okay, this is Doug then with a question.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not comfortable with it because what if the board chair says no? The other two commissioners will never know what it was, and we may think it was a good idea.
Well,
so there's
got
to be some way for the board to know what's going on about that. Do you understand?
I think that's,
yeah.
That's a valid point, but we've elected this board chair. We've elected, I think Commissioner Schimmel is probably a pretty reasonable guy, and if we didn't do this, then we wouldn't know either, because it would just mean that somebody unelected would be approving these. I'd much rather know that at least larger items were at least put before one commissioner.
Well, I'd be more comfortable, given the fact that they're so rare, that they'd be brought to the board. It would only take us 5 or 10 minutes to say yes to something obvious or to question something that was questionable.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and I think that's okay, except that we'd probably want to have an emergency escape valve if a payment had to be made in between meetings.
And then it could be brought to the board to tell us what happened. And we'd say,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
So I think we can still give the board chair the authority to approve those, but then we have a report back at the board meetings as an additional item.
To report back what it was and whether the board chair said yes or no.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's modify the motion to state that the board chair is to approve expenditures over $5,000 other than payroll. And
payroll and rent, I think, probably.
Yeah. Payroll and fixed obligations.
Good.
And then that there will be a report at the following meeting to the entire board as to what happened.
That makes sense.
Sounds good.
All right, I vote aye.
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 Okay, we have the three ayes, and that takes care of that. Then the next... The next item then was approving new hires, and
this is Matt. I had put that on there. I mean, we only have 9.5 full-time positions. I was a little bit. I mentioned at the last meeting, the IT position when I first met with the board after first week after November was vacant, and it was hired the last week in January. And I had specifically asked the executive secretary, Ms. Nelson, to tell me if she was going to fill that position because I wanted to know about it. And I was never told. I mean, I thought that would have been a nice courtesy, but so I think at a minimum, we're fully staffed now, so in some ways it doesn't matter. But if there is a vacancy, I don't think it's. I guess it doesn't matter. I don't really care right now.
This is Doug, because I was on the board for a long time. I have a history, as you guys know. What used to always happen is Tia would inform us. Either by email or at a meeting that so-and-so had left or retired and she was beginning to begin the process to hire a new blah, blah, blah. And we were aware that she was doing it. And then she would say, aha, we've hired Pete. He's our new so-and-so. So we were kept aware of it. I'm not sure we never approved anything other than we could have spoken up and said, wait a minute, what's going on?
Yeah.
I'm okay with all that. I mean, we don't have any more positions right now. I mean, I like the blah, 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 but...
Okay.
Let's move past it for now. Unless somebody really wants to vote on it, I don't care.
So moving forward, we're going to know if there are vacancies, and we'll be able, as commissioners, to address that.
I mean, I think as a gentleman's thing here, we could ask that Tia, I mean, I understand she's not on the call right now, but... I don't think it would be, as to what Doug said, what was seemingly happening in the past, we should at least be notified. So-and-so left, they got a new job, or they quit, or whatever.
That's happened quite regularly, to my knowledge, but I don't mind if we formalize that and say that Tia will alert us to any openings and what she plans to do about it.
Okay, that's a good motion.
So Okay, so the motion would be then that the board would have to approve any new hires.
Sure, after they've done their normal research. I mean, at that point, in theory, the executive secretary would have one name. We're not going to pick through five names.
Right. You know, we're not going to review resumes. And
I'm ready to hire so-and-so, as Doug said, and we'll say,
okay.
Oh, okay, fine.
So I think then, Doug, did I correctly paraphrase your motion?
Well, just the executive secretary would alert us to any staff openings and what her plans for hiring and let us know when and who she filled the position with.
Do you envision in that, I guess implicit in that is the board could vote to say we're not going to fill that position or maybe we hold it open for a period or whatever happens.
Sure, we always have that prerogative.
Yeah. Okay, so does anyone believe that there's a motion or vote necessary on this, or is this really what we'd expect is the standard operating procedure anyway?
I'm happy with it, just sort of an instruction to the secretary, sort of informally.
Okay, and I'm fine with that too. I mean, I guess I won't say that I'm not irritated that I specifically had asked it in this instance of the IT person. I wasn't told. So if obviously Tia's not on the phone right now, so maybe Tom, since you're listening, if you can make that known to Tia that generally speaking, as board members, if there is a vacancy, we'd like to be notified, and then we'd like to be notified if there's a hire going on.
I'll circle. This is Brad. I'll circle back with her when she's back from vacation, and we'll debrief on everything that happened here. So then we're on number seven, new business. Discuss and vote on Western States land. Forgot what the C stands for.
Commissioners.
Commissioners Association. Okay. Can we get a little bit of a summary of who attends these conferences, and is it just one conference coming up this year that we're looking to discuss now?
This is Tom. There tend to be two conferences a year. They most often take place in July and January. At the present time, I think we were only talking about the upcoming July conference, which will be held in Utah this year. At these conferences, they generally will present issues on land management and on fund management and asset allocation between different asset groups for fund managers.
Yeah, we've got some materials as an attachment in here that lay that out. It does seem the agenda is all information that's relevant to this board's work. Who normally attends the summer conference?
This is Doug. It's been a variety of people. Sometimes it depends on what agenda items. If there's a particular agenda item on forestry, for example, I can remember one time several years ago that one of the foresters from the northern office went to the meeting. I know that Tom has gone to some where he's spent quite a bit of time with his head together talking to other people about fund management. I think our bond manager, didn't you go to one also at one time and spent some time talking to people about that? I've attended them really fairly regularly representing the board. The state treasurer historically has gone several times. Going back in deep history, the attorney general has rarely gone. Treasurers have gone on and off. So that's sort of and Tia Nelson has gone on and off, depending on her schedule. So that's sort of a brief summary.
Well, this is Matt for a second here. We just added this, I believe, the very last meeting to approve these. I mean, this was in our calendar and our agenda here. It doesn't have costs. It doesn't say who's going. It doesn't say anything. And I looked up the Western State Land Conference Association stuff, and frankly, I think the bar graph that Tia or somebody at the board there added is quite telling. We basically are a blip. You can't even see us above the X-axis. I mean, you compare us to Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, I mean, I went to Arizona's website, for example, and Arizona has 9.2 million acres that they manage. We handle 75,000. We're less than 1% of what they have. According to their website at the Arizona Land Commission, they brought in last year, made in revenue, $318 million. So we're nowhere near these people. We also are mostly, comparatively to the other land states, most of them still own most of their land, and that's how they make their revenue. We've sold almost all of our land. We're just cash. So, I mean, I don't have a problem every once in a while if Rich is going to some sort of meeting on financial management or something, but I'm not ready. I certainly won't be voting to send anybody right now to this. I have less of a problem sending staff, but as I made it, the motion was for the approval for the executive secretary that was last week, as well as commissioners to go. I'd like to see way more specifics here. This, I don't know why we would vote to send somebody on something. We don't know anything. There's nothing here.
Well, this is Doug, if you're done. This is sort of new territory, but I'm going to explore it by I make a motion that we authorize Commissioner La Follette to attend the July meeting.
I mean, I guess, do we want to, I don't really want to second it. I mean, I think we should talk about it, but, I mean, I don't know if we can discuss it without a second.
I think we need that you discussed, Matt, that we don't know what any of the costs are for this July conference. Does anyone have any idea what are the deadlines for registration and booking?
Well, that's why I made the motion, because the deadlines for registration are coming up fairly soon. Vicki could tell us that. But the deadlines for getting hotels, conference rates, and for getting reasonable air connections come up much sooner. So for a July meeting, I would presumably start looking at those sometime in May, which is coming up very soon.
Well, I mean, I prefer, if that was the case, Commissioner La Follette, I mean, you must have some sort of staff. You must have some sort of allocation out of your Secretary of State account. I think that would make more sense, right? I just don't like the idea of using trust funds for this.
Well, that's not possible. I don't think. Anyway, well, I made my motion. I would like to have your support, and I feel it's important that we continue our relationship with this group. So it looks like you didn't deny my request to attend. Thank you.
If I can make a couple quick comments, in terms of staff that attend, it really does depend upon what issues are coming up, what presentations are going to be made, and what things are going to be talked about at some of the committee meetings. One of the things that has come up in recent years is the Government Accounting Standards Board, GASB, has come out with some proposed protocols on how to handle accounting for trust lands. All these land commissions in the western United States had somehow managed to exist all these years without having a protocol developed directly for their land management. And so that's been a big issue in terms of what to do about it from an accounting standpoint. Again, from asset allocation, it's a committee meeting that talks about, well, what's the best way of setting up your asset allocations, especially if you have significant land portfolios already. You know, how do you set up your portfolio, keeping in mind that you still have these trust lands? So the staff that attend really depends upon what issues are coming up in the agency and what issues are going to be directly addressed at the conference.
I didn't make a second to the motion because I don't know that we're prepared to I don't know that I'm prepared to vote today because I don't know what any of the costs are. So I know that there are deadlines looming. I think we're gonna have to put it as a future agenda item for May 5th.
Do we know what the does Vicki have a deadline there? I mean,
the deadline for the conference rate on the room is June 15th. So we've got a little bit of time there.
Okay.
With the airfare That tends to be a bigger issue. The longer you wait, the more expensive.
All right. Well, we'll bring it up at another meeting.
Understood. So I in the before the May 5th meeting, I'll put this as an agenda item for May 5th. We're not going to want to fill that agenda too full with Steigerwald coming, but I'll put this item to then, and in the between now and the May 5th meeting, I will I'll have a chance to talk with the executive secretary, and we'll get the details.
Yep.
Okay. Item 8, discuss staff comments to press.
Well, this is Matt. We got kind of an echo there.
Yeah.
I just said, can you hear me now?
Yeah. Am I echoing?
No, I don't know. It's just for a second there. If we want to move through the agenda, we're almost done here. I have something I wanted to bring up in regards to that Tia had said, but not, if she's not on the call, there's no reason to do it today. We could just put on next agenda.
Okay.
So we're on to item 9 then?
Yeah, thanks. I was just making myself a note. Anything new on the Milwaukee Arena issue?
We've continued to have discussions with Eric Schutt in the governor's office, and we have talked with the Milwaukee County Administrator, Chris Abley, and we will be continuing those discussions. The numbers keep moving around a little bit. The structure keeps moving around a little bit, and as things solidify, we will report back to the board as soon as we have some hard numbers and structure to inform you on. The numbers have ranged between 150 to 270 million, and the breakdown between state and county and city has obviously moved quite a bit as well from time to time.
This is Matt. I just have one question. Last meeting we had discussed, I was wondering if we had gotten any, maybe this is directed to Rick, if we had gotten any news on whether or not there might be a possible institutional investor that might want to possibly purchase some of our bonds, if there's been any discussions regarding that.
The when I talked to the Milwaukee County Administrator, he said that he saw some possibilities there, but there were no there was no firm commitments on anything. So,
okay.
And again, the biggest issue there is we need to know some kind of an idea as to how much before you go fishing for someone that's gonna do any acquiring. Rich,
is timing significant for us? It's my understanding that if this went forward, we would be the last money in.
That's what I was, that I had heard as well, but because it was never firmed up, it's one of those things that you hate to make that assumption.
Yeah.
Well, this is Matt. I've talked to a bunch of alleges. I mean, that's a done deal. I mean, right now the owners and Senator Herb Kohl, everybody's under the assumption, including them, that they would be first if there's an allocation of money given from the state. So, it's safe to say we'll be last, which would mean we'd probably be most likely a year away, or up to a year away.
Does that help us?
I don't know if that – this is Rich. I don't know if that helps us just because you're making a commitment for a future investment, and you have to be able to hedge the risk in the meantime. If you're fixing a rate a year in the future for $200 million, you have a significant risk outstanding. That rates are going to change in the meantime.
Well, we do like
one of the things that I did over since our last meeting is I talked to some potential institutional investors for their advice, and it's very difficult to move forward with specific discussions until you actually have a number in mind. You know, whether that is $50 million or $100 million or $150 million is going to make all the difference in the world to the counterparty involved.
Okay.
And so it's just difficult to move forward without any details from the players.
Anything else we can accomplish today on that issue?
We will be talking again to Milwaukee County personnel later today. So, like I said, as soon as we hear more definitive facts or numbers, we will share them with the board.
Okay. Then... We've already talked about putting items 7 and 8 on the agenda for May 5th. Any other agenda items that we need to put on besides the standard business?
This is a deadline.
I just have one question, and I don't know if Vicki's on the line. I've noticed in this call, not as much, but last call especially, there's been a lot of this clicking, and I've been under the assumption the conference call gets sometimes can be a little bit garbled that way, and I'm wondering, it seemed like we were adding people to the conference call. And if it doesn't cost us anything and it doesn't cost the trust fund money, I don't generally care. But I thought Vicki had said at one point that if we add people to our conference call, you know, besides, let's say, the commissioners, that we pay per person. Is there, Vicki, do you have any information? Is she there even?
Vicki had stepped out. The conference calls themselves are relatively inexpensive. I want to say that the average conference call is about $2 or so.
If we add 10 people and it costs us an extra $10 each time, we have a public viewing spot, which is where I believe you all are sitting right now over at the BCPL. Obviously, I want everything public. That's how we're doing this, is why they're recorded. But I just don't want us, if it costs more or significantly more, I think we need to look into that. I don't know who's on these calls. Nobody's ever alerted to me, so it seems kind of odd. I was always under the assumption that only commissioners were on the call.
Well, I guess we'll have to take a look at what the costs are. I'll put that on my checklist of things to check in for the next meeting. Any other future, and this is not a deadline. Of course, the deadline for agenda items is next Tuesday. But are there any other items anyone wants to bring up now?
Mr. Chairman, if I may. This is Brett Holsey. I sent you a memo today on saving money and creating jobs, but there are six people in the room today.
I'm sorry, Mr. Holsey, I'm sorry, but we can't recognize
you. I would just ask you to put a public comment section on your agenda for the next meeting so the public could comment on the spending of your billion-dollar portfolio.
Well, this is Matt Adamczyk. I think we obviously operate under a conference call, and I'm plenty fine if the public want to send a comment to us via, you know, some sort of simple email like bcpl@bcpl.com or whatever, and we'll gladly read them. I have no problem reading comments, but, I mean, if we start having, this isn't a public hearing. It's my understanding, it's not the same type of format, and if you were allowed to speak and go on, then we would have to really have a line of people there. We'd have to have some sort of order for that.
Yeah.
Well, this is Doug. Historically, and it's not happened often, but the number of times members of the public have requested that they be allowed to address the board, always allowed them to do that.
We don't have public comment on the agenda this time. I understand the request from Mr. Halsey is to consider putting it on the agenda for next time, and we'll have to consider that at the next meeting.
Okay. Should we make a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
I'll make that motion. This is Matt.
Okay, I second. Doug, you in favor?
All in favor, aye.
All right, thank you.
Aye all around.
All right, thank you, everyone.
Take care.
Have a good week.